Right now, it is time to bring in somebody that will settle things down, hopefully, and that is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Your laugh is a good start to my day.
That's all you can do.
Not to mine.
When things go wrong, all you can do is laugh.
Well, if you're of your temperament.
That's right. And my job. That's right.
And
my job.
And the other side of that temperament, of course, is...
If I was driving a school bus or flying the shuttle, it would be bad. But in radio, mistakes happen.
I don't know. I was just honestly behind something that I... It's this behemoth mobile. A triple-decker. It said Ventana Newmark. I've never seen something.
What is that?
I don't know. It was this massive, what I guess you'd call a caravan. I have no idea. It was so tall, though. It looked like those old Isuzus that rolled
over.
On Route 41. I was trying to call Marshall to get him to look out the window so he could see it as it went by. Just because I've never seen something quite that massive. Trying to get through towns with wires that...
Probably from Lime Rock Park.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
Except I didn't pick it up till above the Sharon Country Inn, so I don't know quite why.
Because they're going home. They were in the races on Saturday, not today. And they had race cars in there. I'll bet you that's what it was.
Ah, is that what it was?
Okay.
Moving on.
Bawk, 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 bawk.
Well, so she knows, or he knows, everybody knows now what I wanted to talk about today.
Was it a surprise?
No, I'm not surprised, but, you know, nobody knows it yet. Chicken! So I bought a container of chicken broth, you know, these Tetra boxes of chicken broth, very handy in the Tetra box. But the quality of the broth, even the good ones, is really lacking. And I actually felt guilty buying it. I bought it because I was going to make risotto, and I thought, oh, I should really do it with some chicken broth. In the end, I did it with water, by the way, and I still have the box of broth. I don't know. I'm really down on these. And some of them are just terrible. I when they're on sale, and they're expensive, but if I see one on sale, I'll try it if I haven't had it before. But so I'm thinking, you know, a nice thing for me to do would be to make a really large quantity of chicken broth and put it in the freezer. My whole life I've done this, but not in a while, and I didn't have any good broth in the freezer. And it's just as the same work to make a huge quantity as it is to make a small quantity, because there's nothing to chicken broth. You just put it all in the pot and let it roll. But the quality of the chicken is all important. So I went to a place that I don't usually go to only because you can't park. In Brooklyn, a car is an essential fact of life. Yes, you can depend on subways and stuff like that, but you're not going to the live poultry market by subway. Although, now that I think about it, there is one within walking distance. It's on 61st Street. This is a strange block. 61st Street between 12th and 13th Avenues. Some people would call this Diker Heights. It's a commercial strip. It's facing a train, a below-ground train. So across from, it's called La Pera, L-A, new word, P-E-R-A. Anybody can go here. And I recommend it as an adventure. There is, I think it's the N train. Goes not far from, you know, it's within walking distance. So, and then you can haul this home, you know, in shopping bags. So I went to La Pera to buy myself a large, this is what they labeled it on the cage, by the way, a large old fowl, F-O-W-L. Or you could say a large old hen. These are birds that no longer lay eggs. They were raised for eggs, to lay eggs, and they're old and large and no more eggs. So they get you. This is the best kind of bird to make chicken soup. As I always say, it's the only thing, except for rendering chicken fat, that makes my kitchen, actually my whole house, smell like my grandmother's. So, and that's a good smell. So I bought this hand. So I go to La Pera, and you forget from one time to the next what a wonderful, interesting place this is. He has, so he is Carlo, an Italian-American gentleman who manages La Pera, and he has been there for many years. And his cohort is, I think, of the family that owns the place, and he's from Yemen. Handsome Arab guy, really. Interesting place. And these guys are pals. The old Italian-American guy and the young Arab guy. This is an only, we were talking about this, this is an only in a Brooklyn kind of place. I didn't look in the back, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were some Mexicans. In any case, everybody comes here. They have halal, meaning slaughter according to a Muslim religion, every day. So they have somebody back there who does the halal. You don't get to see the slaughter. You only get to see live birds and rabbits, by the way. And in the back is the slaughter room. You don't have to deal with that at all. But every day they have halal. Every Thursday they do kosher slaughter. I have seen Orthodox families come. Kids love this place. And they have cages in the back of their station wagon, and they take the live poultry away. And I'm assuming they have it slaughtered by their own kosher slaughter. I'm trying to think what he's called. Anyway, they also have a lot of Chinese people, because this is actually on the edge of Chinatown. I recommend dim sum. So lunch nearby. I can tell you where to go. There's a lot. My life is a lot around this neighborhood because Di Coluccio and Sons, my Italian market, is on 60th Street and 13th Avenue. La Pera is on 61st and 13th Avenue. The produce market I shop in a lot is called Circus, and that's on Fort Hamilton Parkway and 60th. It's within walking distance of Coluccio. My knife sharpener is in this neighborhood. John, on the corner of 10th Avenue and 63rd Street, if anybody wants to bring their knives to John, he will do them as you know while you wait. $5 a knife, you can't do better. And there's other attractions there, given all the Chinese markets. So I spend a lot of time around here. I don't know if I want to call it Diker Heights. It's more Bensonhurst to me. When people say Diker Heights, I think of more in the 70s and 80s. That's where all the famous Christmas decorations are, where they actually have tourist buses coming to go see the Christmas decorations. In any case, back to chickens. There are all kinds of chickens there. And this time I brought Bob Harned with me so he could sit in the car outside because, of course, there was no place to park. But at least if somebody's sitting in the car, you won't get a ticket. And I was short with Carlo, I have to say. I bought an 8.8-pound chicken. I got a set fowl. They weigh it in front of you while it's still alive to make sure this is the one you want. And then it disappears, and it comes out in a brown paper bag. So when you get it home, it's like you went to the market and you bought a chicken, except there will be some pin feathers you'll have to tweeze out. I felt like my grandmother standing over the sink tweezing a chicken.
And I guess what we have to
say... There weren't that many pin feathers. They do a good job. And then you plop that... I didn't weigh it after it was gutted and feathered and whatever, dressed would be the word. I did get the feet. I didn't take the head. So the feet went into the pot. This chicken, which I'm figuring by the time of all that stuff was done, it was 7 pounds. I covered it with water. nice cold water. And when it started to come to a simmer, you can see all the, you know, they call it scum. I like to use a nicer word, schmutz on top, you know, white foamy stuff. So you skim that off with the slotted spoon will do. I have a, I've mentioned this before, this strainer. It's a flat strainer. It's used for skimming. It works perfectly. In fact, even the curve at the front of the skimmer matches the curve of my pot. So I can scoop up the schmutz from the edge of the pot. Anyway, when it stops giving off schmutz, then you can put in your vegetables. I added a couple of medium carrots cut up, just into two or three pieces each, a couple of big ribs of celery, a couple of pieces each, two medium smallish onions, which I peel, and I don't quarter them, but I do cut a slit in them so that they're, you know, opened. I put a couple of cloves in the onions, and a couple of bay leaves, and a good tablespoon of salt. You can salt it later. Actually, mine, even after it was strained and skimmed, it was a little low on the salt, but I'm leaving it that way for now. So, but you need some salt. So, and this was I think I put in 7 quarts of water. It's a big stock pot. And I let that simmer for 7 hours. So it's an all-day affair. I mean, you can turn it off and turn it back on again, but you really do want to let it cook for at least 6 hours, 7. The chicken itself will be totally wasted by the time you're finished. My cousin on the phone said, well, what are you going to do with the chicken? My grandpa liked to eat soup chicken. Believe me, he wouldn't want this soup chicken. I knew your grandfather.
this is key because you obviously, we have people who have this history who listen to you, and you also have people who are going, pin feathers? Huh?
I know. So, well, you know, Americans are so removed from the sources of their food.
Yeah, don't get me started.
I mean, most people think chicken is this white blob you buy. No bones, no skin. I mean,
right.
Show them a whole chicken, just a normal chicken
and
in the
like,
supermarket,
that?
And they freak out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't freak out.
No, I understand.
I think a lot of the people who listen to us on Monday morning don't freak out.
No, I'm...
You know, so anyway, I remember wanting to make broth when I lived in West Cornwall, and it was not possible to get a fowl. So I ordered, I remember this vividly, I ordered a fowl from, there was a butcher behind the counter at the supermarket in Sharon. What is that supermarket now?
Sharon,
are you talking about
Farm Market? Back then it was Trotters.
Thank you. So they had a real butcher at Trotters, and he ordered me a fowl, and it turns out it had broth added. If you ever see a fowl in the supermarket, check the label. They add flavorings to these birds. I'm not sure why that's done. This is an old, flavorful bird. It's never going to be bland, but it is going to be tough. So this one, I tasted the meat when I finished cooking it, and just to see, and it was like rope. It was tasteless rope, which is the way you want it. So you throw it. I strained it. I threw out all the solids. I put it in the refrigerator once it cooled down enough to put this vast amount of liquid in the refrigerator without having it defrost the refrigerator. And the next day, you're going to have the most beautiful, I call it soup fat, on top of your broth. And you skim that off and save it. It's not good to fry with. You could saute some onions. I may do this today, in fact, because I have a cousin coming over, and she voiced a desire for kasha barnishkis. So anyway, I would use the chicken fat to cook the onions. But that's as far as the frying goes with that fat. That fat is flavoring fat. It's got a high moisture content. I may experiment with the fat that I have. I was thinking that if I put it in a Pyrex dish, you know, like a custard cup kind of thing, just as an experiment here, and then put that in a hot water, that I might get a second separation, and the more pure fat will flow to the top and the liquid will be on the bottom. We'll see. In any case, the broth is without even enough salt, this broth is incredible. And you freeze it. That's it. You can, you know, freeze it in pint containers, and quart containers. You can use it as a base for just about anything. And it's like a real treasure in your freezer. But while I was at La Pera, L-A-P-E-R-A, Carlo insisted that I try another bird, a small bird, I'm guessing it was about 3 pounds, a little 3.5 pounds once it was dressed, and then another bird that he boned out for me. So, in fact, he gave me all the bones, too, so I made yet a second broth because I just had all these bones. And Irene, my housekeeper, was here, and she saw how I cooked the other chicken, and she was fascinated because even though I've told her this a bazillion times, she had to see it to see how easy it is. I cut out the backbone. In this case, by the way, I just threw the backbone and the neck, which she provided me, in this little pot I was making the second broth in. So I just had bones in there. There was meat clinging to them. And I cooked that for several hours, and it's still a good broth without, you know, just several hours of bones. If I had the patience, or actually the time, I would have let it cook longer. But anyway, back to the chicken. So you cut out the backbone. You can do this with a supermarket chicken. And you now have a butterfly chicken. Turn it over so the skin side is up. Flatten down the breast as much as you can. And if you can't, you can always do a little slit in that breastbone, which will help you split the chicken open. And it's a splayed chicken. So you put that on a baking sheet, salt, pepper, nothing else, a brush of olive oil or any oil for that matter, just to get the skin crisp. 450 degrees for 45 minutes, and you're done. So this was an unbelievable chicken. Now I got to call Carlo after I get off with you and find out exactly which chicken this was. You must, by the way, when you buy live poultry, wait a couple of days before you cook it. I made the mistake years ago of getting this home and roasting the chicken immediately, and it was a tough bird. One tough bird. I think we threw it out. It takes at least 48 hours after slaughter for the meat to tenderize. It goes into what's called rigor mortis. By the way, did you know that that's two words?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh.
I always thought it was rigor mortis.
But
it's rigor mortis. It means rigid death. And it comes after actual death. And when the muscle, I don't know the chemical, it's a chemical thing that happens to every living thing. But there are ways that commercial producers get around it by stunning animals, blah, blah, blah. But, this is a natural slaughter that's going on at La Pera. And then we'll tell you, don't cook it for at least 2 days. 3 days, maybe even better. So, you know, fresh chicken, yeah, 3 days is pretty fresh. the roasted chicken was sublime. I cooked it just the way I just said it, did nothing to it. Irene and I picked at it and agreed that the flavor of this was way superior to anything we bought in the supermarket. And it was pretty tender and juicy. Her sister, her sister does buy chicken at a live poultry market. She says she dreads going to her sister's house when she makes chicken because it's like a rock.
So her sister doesn't wait?
her sister doesn't know about rigor mortis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll do that again. And then he gave me the boned out chicken. I have to ask Carlo about this. Didn't come out so good. I did wait the same length of time as I waited for the roasting chicken. But this is all boned out. The thighs, drumsticks were boned, and breasts. So it was four big pieces of chicken. Skin still attached. Carlo said, I just poached this in butter. And it brought me back to early Julia Child. I do believe in mastering the art of French cooking. One is a recipe for poaching chicken in butter. Nothing to it. You just melt some butter in a pan. You put the chicken on the lowest possible heat. You put the chicken in and let it cook. And now Julia, if I remember, buttered a piece of wax paper and put it on top of the chicken, so it was really surrounded by butter. But I didn't do that. I just put the cover on the pot. And truthfully, 10 minutes later, I had fully cooked chicken that I didn't want to eat because it was so hard.
Right.
In 10 minutes. So I have it still. I was thinking I might grind it up today just not to waste it. And I'll grind it up and make chicken croquettes.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Sounds good. What do you put in your chicken croquettes?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Well, this I don't know yet.
Okay.
I'm thinking of what I have in the house.
It can't be. It has to be grounded.
Parsley and maybe some breadcrumbs for binding and an egg. I'll probably put breadcrumbs on the outside and fry them.
That will make anything taste good.
There you go.
The key. It is the key.
I don't think it needs a sauce, but it might be good with, like, tartar sauce. So because I mentioned tartar sauce because after chicken, mayonnaise has been on my mind this week. And I have made mayonnaise three times this week. I discovered in this Cuisinart mini prep that I just bought, there are little holes in the cover so that you can drip oil into the container below. I'm not sure what else you would want to drip through these tiny holes. And it makes very good mayonnaise. So until I got the proportions right, it took me three tries, but I think now I got it right, and my proportion is 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil and 3/4 cup of relatively, we hope, neutral, we'll call it neutral oil, like, you know, vegetable oil. But I buy canola oil. I love peanut oil. Another neutral oil. So one egg, I break it into the mini prep. I add the juice. I add that later. I added, this is not my new formula. I would say 1/2 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, maybe not quite 1/2. 2 big pinches of salt, and let that whirl for a couple seconds, and then add through those tiny holes on top your oil, just letting it drip down at its own speed, which is slow. There are 2 holes on the top of mine. If you don't have a mini prep, I think you want to do this in a blender and not in a big processor. It's not enough mayonnaise to do it well in a big processor. And when I'm about 3/4 of the way through with the oil, I then add the juice of 1/2 lemon, at least 1 teaspoon of vinegar. I've been using white wine vinegar, but maybe a little more. If you want a totally lemony mayonnaise, which is certainly a good thing, you could use the juice of a whole lemon. You could use only lemon. And I still think you need at least a few drops of vinegar because lemon isn't quite acidic enough to make a good mayonnaise. And that's it. Finish your oil, and you can reseason with a little salt and can always adjust the vinegar and lemon juice, and that's all there is to it. I must say, when I dressed this roasted chicken leftovers with this mayonnaise, and I had some celery in there, but I could make other kinds of chicken salad, and I stripped the chicken off the bones, so we had these juicy big pieces of chicken with that mayonnaise. I'm obsessed with this week. I don't like the word obsessed, but I'm fixated on this week.
That too? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going back to Carlo to learn more about the different poultry. I told him I'd come by this week.
All right. So we will, yeah, we will
there's
look
so many different kinds of birds. And apparently every ethnic community has their favorite. Like the Chinese people like black chickens. And then there's something called silkies that the Chinese like too. Okay.
Well, there you go then. Okay. So
I don't know which one I ate last night, but I'll find out a little later.
And report back.
Okay, kids. Okay. Have a great week.
And you.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, JARestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.